Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, May 6th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great content over there. Definitely worth your while to get over there and check it out. I would also continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can then commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative in our community. So go ahead and click on the link. It'll provide you a much more thorough description than I just have. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And then we would ask you to pass the link along. All right. Well, it is Saturday. The 6th of May. So we're getting into the month of May. We've gotten through the first third of the year. Pretty awesome. I do want to give a thank you out to those who have been listening. It looks like, and again, I don't do this for numbers or anything like that. I'm really not. But needless to say, I've been blown away. I am now at a point, and you know, I'm thankful for this, but at the same time, I realize I've done over 240 something episodes. So it would be different if I was podcasting once a week, but I'm not. I'm podcasting every day, so it's a little easier to reach these kind of numbers. But by this point, I believe I've topped 10,000 actual listens, 10,000 listens. So and again, I don't say that to pat myself on the back. The fact is, it's the listeners that have done it, not me. I'm not sure why anybody wants to listen to me. But I'm just out here trying to do the Lord's work. And so that's really what it's about. So I'm not saying that to try to pat myself on the back again, but I wanted to say thank you to all those that are listening. I very much appreciate it. All right. Well, with it being the weekend, we're only going to be doing our reading, our Bible reading and our devotions and prayers today. And we'll be getting back into our Bible study on Monday evening, God willing. So let's go ahead and open up with the seventh day morning prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one, may we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, and now our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 6th. The text for it comes from 1 John 4:13. We dwell in him. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask, what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. Ah, you would like to pay a respectable rent? You would love to do something to win Christ? Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity with nothing to pay for it, nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving him forever? Will you take Jesus and dwell in him? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ and feast on his love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus, and from it you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? Ah, if you are houseless, you will say, I should like to have the house, but may I have it? Yes, there is the key. The key is, come to Jesus. But, you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind. There are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come. And though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house by and by. He will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to sing, We dwell in him. Believer, thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place. Greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation, in which thou art ever safe, and dwelling in him. Thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting one. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live and stand more imperishable than marble, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God himself. We dwell in him. All right, and now our reading for the day, we're going to be reading Ruth 2, 3, and 4, John 4, verse 43 through 54, so that's the end of the chapter. Psalm 105, and I'm sorry, I read all of Psalm 105 yesterday because I mistyped in my show notes. But we're going to go ahead and read the second half of that psalm again. It'll be Psalm 105, verse 16 through 36, and then Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. So, here we go with Ruth 2. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of excellence of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one whom I may find favor in his eyes. And she said to her, Go, my daughter. So she went, and she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And it so happened that she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, May Yahweh be with you. And they said to him, May Yahweh bless you. Then Boaz said to the young man who was in charge of the reapers, Whose young woman is this? The young man in charge of the reapers replied, She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the fields of Moab. And she said, Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, Have you not heard, my daughter? Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the young men not to touch you, and if you are thirsty, go to the water jars, and drink from what the young men draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, though I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you forsook your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May Yahweh fully repay your work, and may your wages be full from Yahweh, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, May I find favor in your eyes, my lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken to the heart of your servant woman, though I am not like one of your servant women. At mealtime Boaz said to her, Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Then she rose to glean, and Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not dishonor her. Also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of Yahweh, who has not forsaken his loving kindness to the living and to the dead." Then Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, so that others do not oppress you in another field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek a state of rest for you, that it may be well with you? And now, is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose young men, women you were? Behold, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. So you shall wash yourself, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and you shall go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Let it be that when he lies down, you shall know the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. And Boaz ate and drank, and his heart was merry, and he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Then it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. So spread your wing over your maidservant, for you are a kinsman redeemer." Then he said, "You may be blessed of Yahweh, my daughter. You have shown your last loving kindness to be better than the first, by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. So now, my daughter, do not fear. All that you say, I will do for you, for all my people within the gates of the city know that you are a woman of excellence. But now it is true, I am a kinsman redeemer. However, there is a kinsman redeemer closer than I. Stay this night, and it will be in the morning, that if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not desire to redeem you, then I will redeem you, as Yahweh lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Give me the cloak that is on you, and hold it." So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, and placed it on her. Then she went into the city. Then she came to her mother-in-law, and she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty.'" Then she said, "Sit then, my daughter, and until you know how the matter falls into place, for the man will not remain quiet until he has finished the matter today." And Ruth 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman redeemer of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, my fellow, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the fields of Moab, has to sell the portion of the field which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to uncover this matter in your hearing, saying, 'Acquire it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if no one redeems it, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you.'" And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the one who had died, in order to raise up the name of the one who had died on behalf of his inheritance." So the kinsman redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the right of redemption and the exchange of land, to establish any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Acquire this for yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have acquired all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon from the hand of Naomi. And also I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the one who had died on behalf of his inheritance, so that the name of the one who had died will not be cut off from his brothers or from the gate of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. And all the people who were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May Yahweh grant the woman who is coming into your home to be like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And so you shall achieve excellence in Ephrathah, and shall proclaim your name in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through this seed which Yahweh will grant you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in to her, and Yahweh granted her conception, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is Yahweh, who has not left you without a kinsman, redeemer today. And may his name be proclaimed in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of your soul and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and put him on her bosom and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron, and Hezron became the father of Ram, and Ram became the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab became the father of Nashon, and Nashon became the father of Salma, and Salmon became the father of Boaz, and Boaz became the father of Obed, and Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. All right, John 4, verses 43 through 54. And after the 2 days, he went from there into Galilee, for Jesus himself bore witness that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Then he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Yahweh spoke, that Jesus spoke to him, and started on his way. And while he was still going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was alive. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. All right, Psalm 105, verses 16 through 36. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons, until the time that his word came to pass. The word of Yahweh refined him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of people sent and set him free. He set him up as lord of his house, and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will, and that he might teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he caused his people to be very fruitful, and he caused them to be stronger than their adversaries. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his slaves. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They set forth the words of his signs among them, and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent the darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood, and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came a swarm of flies and gnats in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He also struck down their vines and their fig trees, and he shattered the trees of their territory. He spoke, and locusts came, and creeping locusts without number, and they ate up all vegetation in their land, and they ate up the fruit of their ground. He also struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their vigor. Then he brought them out with silver and gold. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the end. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the end of what I'm reading for the day. He also struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their vigor. All right. And then Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. In the fear of Yahweh there is strong security, and his children will have refuge. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. All right, well, that is our scripture reading for the day. Let's go ahead and read the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 6th. The text for it comes from Job 14:14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. A little stay on earth will make heaven more heavenly. Nothing makes rest so sweet as toil. Nothing renders security so pleasant as exposure to alarms. The bitter quassia cups of earth will give a relish to the new wine which sparkles in the golden bowls of glory. Our battered armor and scarred countenances will render more illustrious our victory above. When we are welcomed to the seats of those who have overcome the world, we should not have full fellowship with Christ if we did not for a while sojourn below. For he was baptized with the baptism of suffering among men, and he must be baptized with the same if we would share his kingdom. Fellowship with Christ is so honorable that the sorest sorrow is a light price by which to procure it. Another reason for our lingering here is for the good of others. We would not wish to enter heaven till our work is done, and it may be that we are yet ordained to minister light to souls, benighted in the wilderness of sin. Our prolonged stay here is doubtless for God's glory. A tried saint, like a well-cut diamond, glitters much in the king's crown. Nothing reflects so much honor on a workman as a protracted and severe trial of his work, and its triumphant and endurance of the ordeal without giving way in any part. We are God's workmanship, in whom he will be glorified by our afflictions. It is for the honor of Jesus that we endure the trial of our faith with sacred joy. Let each man surrender his own longings to the glory of Jesus, and feel, if my lying in the dust would elevate my Lord by so much as an inch, let me still lie among the pots of earth. If to live on earth forever would make my Lord more glorious, it should be my heaven to be shut out of heaven. Our time is fixed and settled by eternal decree. Let us not be anxious about it, but wait with patience till the gates of pearls shall open. All right, well, that is our show for Saturday, May 6th. I thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you've got great plans for this weekend. Great, productive, you know, it may be going and having fun. It may be being productive, whatever it is. Hope they're great plans. If your plans don't have worshiping with the saints in them, change them because we are commanded to do so. So I would implore you to do so. I would also implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you again Sunday morning. Let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to use the Lord's Day Eve prayer. Let's pray. God of the passing hour, another week has gone and I have been preserved in my going out and my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all successes one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, well, again, thank you for spending this time with me. Again, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and you spend your time worshiping with the saints. And again, I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.